appreciate you. Love you like a fat kid love cake. God bless you. God keep you. It is my prayer. Jamar, you could turn up the volume now. Amen. I'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God as well as love people. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. And before I get started too much, one little quick other announcement, because y'all don't read Facebook posts. You'll see them and then you won't say nothing. Next Sunday is when we're supposed to do our African Heritage Sunday. And so if you have a print, don't wear a Coming to America t-shirt. That does not qualify. But I want you to wear the proper outfits in regards to African History Month or Black History Month. And we're going to wear African heritage attire. For the young people, y'all could wear Black Panther. Y'all could do Wakanda thing, all right? But as far as us older ones, make sure that you have the proper outfits. We are a church that is diverse. We do a lot of things in the community. But I just happen to also be a Black pastor, and I don't want to let this month go by without giving respect and honor where it is due. We've done a lot of things in this community as far as our prayer and peace walk, things that happened with George Floyd last year, as well as others, Ahmaud Arbery, marching in the streets, speaking truth to power, talking with dignitaries, mayors-elect, holding people accountable throughout that entire time, and also working with law enforcement, which we have done over the years as a chaplain in this community. And so those things are things that we are doing. And so that's why when you give, you're not just giving just because, okay? You're giving to the ministry that is working in the community diligently, and we're not, or do not have any plans of stopping as of yet. So make sure that you say it loud. You Black. If you got a little bit of Black in you, that qualifies as well. You know how that goes. Show that you're proud of your heritage and where we come from. And I already have the subject of my message for next week, but I can't tell you what it is. I gave you a quick little hint, but you already missed it. So I just want you to be aware of that, all right? So you know what you need to do. Go to your websites. Sister Elisa Winsley, she's sewing tomorrow. But you got to pay now. She ain't doing it for free. I felt that one. So she also knows how to sew, and or you could just buy your stuff at the internet, and then you could do what Deacon Lewis. Oh, by the way, Deacon Lewis, as well as Sister Lewis, I hope y'all are up there going half on the baby as you're out of town right now. God bless you. God keep you. They're celebrating 14 years of marriage right here on Valentine's weekend. I just remember, go ahead and put your hands together for that. Put your hands together. Why are y'all just looking at me? Put your hands together. You just stood there and folded your arms the whole time. That's your mama. Thank you. Lord, have mercy, help me, Lord. 14 years together, and I just remember when they did their renewal of vows last year. Y'all remember that? They did their renewal of vows this time last year, rededicating themselves. They've been to hell and back again, but I see their love is much stronger now, and I'm just so thankful to God for that. They've been through some trying times as well, and so they're truly a testament. I'm not going to tell you their testimony. They're going to tell you their testimony. Seek them out if you have any type of issues in regards to, you know, certain things that you just want to hear outside of Pastor Lady Martin. They are a good couple to also be able to go to tell you about some of the hills and valleys of marriage. Amen. I think they're the ones outside of myself and Lady Martin. Al, are y'all up in the past 10 yet? Not just yet. Oh, 10 this year? Well, you better get that right, man. You're like, oh, God. Father, help them now on Valentine's Day, in Jesus' name. See, so y'all making it to a decade. So I think the Lewises are the next one that has been married the longest in this congregation. When you have strong marriages, you have a strong church. When you have a strong church, you can impact the community. So God bless you to y'all anniversary as well. See, when you miss church, I want you to miss church for stuff like that. Amen. Date nights, taking the family out, things that are important so that you could be a good example to those that are around you, not foolishness, all right? That's so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 7 says as follows. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, then I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Here it is. This will help you. This will help you right here. Number one, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. I said what I said. It's not like that. It's not irritable. Why are you bothering me with another thing? Nope, it's not that either. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, very important. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, in the first part of it, love never ends. It does not fail. From the subject today, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Get off that phone. Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Wake him up right there. Right there. Your brother. There you go. Thank you. Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. See, if I don't say nothing, that means I don't care. I do care. I want you to be good. All right? That's good. We good. What is love? It is a blessing to know what love is. To love others and to be loved by someone. This is how babies are made. Amen, somebody. Battles are won. Hearts are broken and even mended again. This is what makes a man drive cross country to go on a date that lasts just 1 hour, and what makes mothers have children despite how it disfigures their bodies. It drives men to sacrifice to die daily on behalf of their families. Compels a person to put the gun down when they are angry, so angry that they want to have revenge on someone. It stops a parent from abandoning their children, and in some cases is the reason why they may even give them up for adoption. Love is described as a splendid thing, complex, mysterious, and for millennia was the known unknown. This gives an example of the true nature of God. People didn't know who God was. Love, with all its complexities, has been the substance of myths, folklores, and legends. It's a magnificent thing to behold. A lot of you all were kind of wondering, you know, why my wife and I would show our public affection like that. It's to be an example. Because did you know, church people, did you know that your relationship as married individuals is an example of Christ's love for the church? And so a person's relationship with God through their marriage is displayed on how they treat each other. It is a mystery, but it shouldn't be mystifying. It's a mystery to those that do not understand it or do not know what love is. And so with God, we didn't even know he existed. We knew he was there, but had no means to reach him other than making up religions to appease what we thought was him, and sadly found out that we were really only in love with ourselves at best and entertain demons at worst. What is love? Is it the amount of pressure and abuse that you can take without leaving? Some would say yes. What is love? Is it the amount of times that I get you something for your birthday on Valentine's Day? Is that what it is? I believe that it's a combination of a couple of things. So as a clarification of what love truly is and how it is expressed, biblically there's actually seven types of love. This is important because you just going to the magic mall to get me a flower, that actually can be a tremendous sign of love if that's all that you have. I remember when I proposed to Lady Martin, I did not propose to Lady Martin with a $5,000 ring or a $10,000 ring. The ring that I purchased for Lady Martin at that time was $200, and it was borrowed money from one of my net checks. A net check is the money that's left over after you pay your tuition while you're in school. That's what I did. I did not have a job at that time. But because of all the situations and circumstances that we went through together just in a short period of time, I said, you know what, let me mature myself and let me ask for your hand in marriage, because I know that the road ahead for me was going to be a rough one unless I went through it with someone else. And not just someone, my soulmate. Seven types of love. So let me help you out, young people, old people, and everyone in between. There's seven types of loves, and the first one is called Eros. This is where you get the term erotica from. If you've seen 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Black, all those funny movies everywhere in between, that's centered around eroticism. It represents an intense sexual type of love, but consequently enough, it's one of the weakest types of love that there is. I remember that there was one particular couple that I knew of in times past that the only thing that they talked about was how much they wanted to be with each other sexually. And I was like, are you sure that that is all that there is? And they just was looking at each other with lust in their eyes. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. It's important for you to be attracted to the other person, but there's this thing that's called gravity. There's this thing that's called stretch marks. Getting older, or that ladies that thing that's in the middle after you have kids. Or fellas, you get stretch marks too in different places. Dimples in your buns. They just gonna keep on looking at me. All right, well, when you get to your 20th year, then I want you to say amen. Things happen to your body. Things change when you have children, multiple children. I had hair before I had my sons. raising children is no joke, but it's done out of love. So Eros or erotic love is just the initial act. That's what makes you walk across the floor in a club and say, hey, do you want to hook up tonight? But then what about tomorrow or the next day? And the next day. See, biblically speaking, Samson and Delilah exhibited this. Samson was actually a very lustful man. He was strong in stature. He is what you would call somebody who would do the silhouette challenge as a man. Amen, somebody. You can look at me like you don't know what day it is, but you do. He was out there. He looked for, what's the proper term, whores in the street. It actually starts off the book or chapter in the book of Judges, and in chapter 15 and 16, it talks about how he went after women, and he comes across somebody who was also a player themselves, Delilah. See, Samson had a gift. He had strength. He had the anointing God called him, but he also had a weakness, and the enemy exploited that weakness through the wiles of a woman named Delilah who laid in his lap but did not have a heart for him. Oh, what a very dangerous thing it is to love someone that does not love you back. What kind of tangled web do we weave? And so that is exactly what happened to Samson and Delilah. It was just eroticism. And as the story goes, at the very end, he ended up dying and he was blinded by lust. blinded, because she was actually a spy for the Philistines, who understood his weakness and exploited that weakness. And even with all his strength, he was in his weak moment and could not go any further, all because he thought with the wrong brain. He thought with what was between his legs instead of what was between his ears. Eros. But it's not just Samson alone. There was also David and Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba represent the first example of pornography that we see inside of the text. It kind of get kind of quiet in here, but it's true. Because what David did is that he was looking from his lofty perch inside of his kingdom, and he saw Bathsheba fully naked, bathing in the pool below, and he began to behold her and saw her body as it was, and he was turned on by that, so much so until he sent out messengers to find out who she was. The messengers let David know that, hey, this man, there's a man that's actually in between you guys, so-and-so relationship, and his name is Uriah. Oh, you mean to tell me she's married? Oh, yeah, she's married. David didn't care. He was like, I don't care. I'm the king. I want her anyway. And so as the story goes, he wanted her, and she also wanted him, because she also knew that he was the king, and she also knew that she was married. See, people, everybody, they tried to keep this a secret, but if it happens, somebody knows. That's a word for somebody. If you do something that is not pleasing to God, somebody somewhere knows that what you want to do is that you want to repent before God before you are exposed. So Uriah was actually sent by David to the front of the line to be killed so that David could actually be with Bathsheba. That's like getting homeboys, your best girls, homeboy out of the way so that you can have by getting him or putting some weed inside of his car and calling the cops on him, and then he ends up getting taken away for 5 years. Lust is a very powerful thing. The scripture goes inside of that particular verse and begins to talk about it at length. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2 through 5, we see this come to fruition in the English Standard Version. It says, it happened late one afternoon when David arose from his couch. It always seems like there's a brother sitting on the couch somewhere. He's getting ready to do something he ain't got no business doing. He rose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, his house. And he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? You know, there's always going to be that one friend that says, she's married, or he's married. But David's like, and? I want that girl, I wanna. I had a dream about her last night, I wanna. Yeah. Key sweat, y'all, I know it's over, but just look it up. So David in verse 4 said the following. So David sent messengers and took her. He didn't even ask no questions. He took her, and she came to him. So this was a two-way street. Oh, look at that. See, have you ever heard of the term, it takes two to tango? Let me make it more contemporary. It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight. It takes two. So David was wrong, but she was also wrong as well. Because she knew that Uriah, who was just out there working, was her husband. And so he sent messengers and took her and came to him, and he lay with her. Now she had been purifying herself from her uncleanliness. So that's a different twist right there. So that basically means that she was on her period during this time. Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all okay? So she was supposed to really not be with anyone, but she insisted on it anyway. When you are in lust, you're willing to go beyond the norm. Y'all all right out there? I got everybody's attention. Okay. I'd rather you learn it inside of the church house instead of yet your house. And then she returned to her house, and then the woman conceived And she sent and told David, Lord have mercy. Fellas, have you heard this word before? When you stepped out, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. I remember Lady Martin told me that she was pregnant with Andre. And I was elated. But when you get somebody pregnant and it was not supposed to go that way, you're like, oh. What are we going to do now? Eros. The next type of love is philia. Eros has its place, don't get me wrong. I was attracted to Lady Martin, absolutely. From hips to her skin tone. But I knew that I had to have more than that if I was going to be with her for the long term. So the next type of love is philia. This is called brotherly love. This type of love is the love that you have between partners, your girls, the boys. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says in verse 18, little children, let us not love in the word, or let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So the love that Jesus had with his disciples was not erotic. It was not sexual at all. It was like the love that I have for Brother Winsley or for Brother Rick, or the love that Lady Martin has for Sister Shantae or other ladies that are inside the congregation. We have strong friendships. That's why we do so much together. We love together. We fellowship together, play games together. We even get sick together. Amen. Someone say amen. And we also recover together. That's what a congregation or a body of Christ is supposed to be like. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful and splendid thing. And so one of the things in my own relationship that I have with Lady Martin and I is not only was I attracted to her and she attracted to me, and we're still attracted to each other even to this day, but we also have a general like for each other as friends. When bodies are changed and when you can't go the distance for everything, and this is men and women, that sometimes you rely on just your friendship. This is what you call non-sexual relationships with a significant other. Just to go out and just have a good time with each other. To walk in the park, to talk about crazy things. The people watch, that's what Lady Martin and I were doing. We just sat in the lobby doing people watching. Look at them, they got a nice outfit. We're underdressed. We're going out, we're going to eat, and you know, just normal things. She is unequivocally my best friend. Philia, brotherly love. If you ever want to build a church, if you're a young preacher and you happen to hear this as you're watching online, one of the best ways to build the church is foster fellowship and friendship with one another, to be friends. And then those relationships start growing and they start building and the trust starts being built. And then watch this, even in the midst of all of that, you also learn how to handle things even when one of your friends don't do you right. Because you also have to have a forgiving heart. It can't just be one way. Philia, brotherly love. The next type of love, number three, is storge. This is a love of family members, okay? Blood is thicker than mud. Blood is thicker than water. Have you ever heard that term? But how many of you know that type of love is not the strongest love? It's a love that's intense. It's good to be connected with your brother and sister and things of that nature. It's good for y'all to be connected, but your brother may get married. Your sister may get married and have kids. You may move to different sides of town, but those familial type loves, while they're strong, it's not the strongest love of all. It's important. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17 says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is the Father God with his son, Jesus Christ. And there was no stronger bond than one between those two. Other examples of family members that have had great and intense love for one another is when the centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant. Also, the woman who begged Jesus to deliver her daughter from demon possession, or Jairus, who was actually a synagogue leader, who begged Jesus to heal his daughter because she was near death. Suffice to say, if something happened to my son, or even my son Jaden, who's looking at his phone still, put that phone up. I love you, though. Oh, you got it? Okay. I love you, though. When they get hurt or something happens to them, rest assured that if something happens at their school, I remember one time when an incident happened at Jaden's school, he was at Stenstrom with one of his teachers, and he told us about it, and my wife and I both went up there to that school and had a nice interesting conversation with one of his teachers to say from that particular point on, he had no problems from that teacher. My kids know that I love them by the way that I treat them, but I also know that they love me, even though they drive me crazy. Familial type love. I would do anything for them, for my family. It's important because I also want them to do the same thing for their sons and their daughters in the future. The next type of love is pragma love. We don't always hear about this one, but this is so important. This is the Jet Magazine looking like each other type love. If you don't get Jet Magazine, let me give you an example of this. In Jet Magazine, if you look at this, they had a section in there that actually highlighted marriages in the black community. Because in the black community, marriage and staying together is something that we really had a lot of trouble with, especially after slavery, because during slavery, they would purposely divide families in order to have the different types of slaves that were out there. And sometimes there would be things that were done so egregious, even to the point of having certain slave masters that are males sleep with other males in order to break the family apart. So it was that intense, it was that hard on the black family for so many years or so. What Jet Magazine did back in the 70s and the late 60s is that they would highlight different types of marriages that were around the country. Those that were newly married, and the part that I really liked was when you saw Miss Edith and Mr. Ray married for 57 years. And the strange phenomenon was that they started to look like each other. Started looking like each other. And I was like, why is that? And part of that is because when you've exchanged covenant for so long, made love to each other for so long, all throughout those years, children have come from out of those wombs. Things have been exchanged, praise and worship. One priest, one temple for all of those years. Then you are exactly what God intended from the very beginning, which is that you become one flesh. And the two shall become one flesh, and let no man tear them apart. Because it's not God that tears relationships apart or tears marriages apart. It's humanity and sin that does. Enduring love, long-term relationships, relationships for life. An example of this, biblically speaking, moving quickly here, is between Abraham and Sarah. They were married for decades before they had a child. Decades. Abraham didn't say, man, you dried up. You don't have nothing going on in you. I'm going to find somebody else. No. She didn't say that to him. They didn't have children until they were in their 90s. So 60 years in, 50 years in, 40 years in, 30 years in, it was just the two of them. Just the two of us, you and I. And then the blessing came forward. But the cool thing about their relationship is that even when their relationship had a little bit of turbulence in the very end, which is how Ishmael was being born, they didn't quit each other. They didn't say, nah, we ain't going to do it. Because you have all that history. One of the main things that helps, fellas, let me help you. When you come to that midlife crisis point, you start looking around and be like, hey, man, I'm now in my 40s, going towards 50, and all of my youth is now behind me, and now I have to kind of step gingerly as I move forward. One of the key things that I think about when it comes to Lady Martin and I is all of the years that we had together. I said, baby, don't you remember all of the good times we had together? I just talked to her best with her like that. And because of those years, I say to myself, you know what? I don't want anybody else but her. My prayers have changed now from, let me see if I can get some tonight. Two, I want to make sure that she wakes up and she's still going to be alive. I look at her and I watch her breathing. She said, that's weird, but I say, I look and just make sure that she's still breathing. I rub the side of her arm to make sure it's not too cold. Because I always shudder to the thought of what happens if I woke up and she passed away and went on to be with the Father. Because I know I wouldn't be able to make it without her in my life. Enduring love. So yeah, we are close to 21, but I want to make it even further than my parents. I want to make it to 50 years and beyond. See, in those type of situations, this is where you get a chance to see grandmama and granddaddy. still hugging and kissing each other, sitting at the house inside of the rocking chair, just going back and forth. You know the main reason why there's not a lot of family reunions today? It's because families are being fractured. Can't have a family reunion if you're not going to stay together. And this is important for the black family. Extremely important. Pragma love. The next one is philutia or philousia. This is what we call self-love or self-care. Psalms 139 verse 14 is the following. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows this very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand, and I awake and I am still with you. So in Scripture, it talks about how, even as children of God, that we have to love ourselves. Did you know that one of the main reasons why people have hateful behavior is because they hate themselves? You can't give what you do not have. If you hate yourself, you're always going to mistreat other people. Always. And another person is not going to fix your bad behavior. I don't care how long or where you come from, or whether you're 12 years old, all the way up to 25, to 35, to 95. When you do not love yourself, you can't love anyone else. I love me some me. I believe that I was a great prize, and my wife believed that she was a great prize. And because I love myself, I said, you know what? I got an extra love to give you, too, because I love me, too. I love myself enough to where I will be a little bit more scrupulous and a little bit more scrutinizing when it comes to picking a mate. And she loves herself so much, so until she was not going to just pick anybody because she didn't have to get with me. But we saw something in each other from 1998 to now it's 2021. Enduring love. Self-love, so important. When you don't love yourself, guess what? My relationship with you can't help you. Can I? Can I help you to love yourself when you don't love yourself? I could speak good things in your ear. I could say, baby, you look great. You look wonderful. You look nice. You look like the best thing since sliced bread. But if you don't love yourself, guess what? Nothing that I tell you is going to be good enough. Nothing. So you got to have a healthy self-outlook upon yourself first. This goes for men as well. See, when you have good self-worth, you ain't going to just put up with anything and everything. You ain't going to just put up with anything and everything. Because see, because I love me, guess what? That'll stop me from being abused by you. Amen, somebody. I'm talking about just a normal hard time. Because I love me some me, I'm not going to sit there and just take your foolishness. I'll back away from the table. I'll go for a walk. I'll close the door until you come to yourself. Lady Martin had to do that with me in our early days. Because I had a problem with loving myself. I had self-esteem problems early on. Even as handsome as I was with a full head of hair. I showed a picture of myself to Andre back in the day. And he saw a six-pack. Hadn't seen it since then, but it was there. I was at Daytona Black Beach weekend with no shirt on, walking down the road with some plaid pants on. I had a nice little visor, doing like this. And I was like, that's what you look like now, but when you're my age, you'll look like me. All right. So those things passed, but I loved myself. I really did, and I still do. Because I want to make sure that I have enough to give to someone else. So self-care, self-love is so important. And so David was saying, you know what? You made me like this. God, your thoughts of me are so detailed. It's like the sand granules that are on the shore of a beach. That's a lot. the way that God thinks about you, Mike. God thinks about you a lot. Thinks about you a lot. Demetrius, he thinks about you a lot. And so if God reveres you and he thinks about you at such a high level, then why do we think so little of ourselves? Well, I can't get nobody else, so I might as well just go ahead and take it. But one of the main reasons why I continue to love myself and things of nature is because I've learned that early on that when you're in a relationship with somebody, we've often heard it say, you complete me. But that's wrong. Because if you only 50% capacity when I meet you and I'm 50% capacity, then I'm coming to you broken and you coming to me broken. But when you love yourself and you're full and whole, then guess what? We complement each other versus complete each other. I'm a good compliment to Lady Martin, and she's a good compliment to me. We could both get whoever we want, and we made a decision that we wanted to be with each other and not anyone else. Self-love is so important. The next type of love, as we come around the mountain here, is ludus. Luda is how it's pronounced. No, it has nothing to do with ludicrous, y'all. But this luda, which is the Greek word for playful, means a playful type of love. And in this type of love, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. So that kind of sounds kind of strange, Ella Winsley. God gives us meaningless days where nothing exciting happens. But the thing that makes things exciting is that you have someone that you love to go through those meaningless days with. Lady Martin was telling me about a place that we went somewhere at iDrive early on in our marriage. She's like, yeah, we went to that hotel right there off of Carrier Drive. And I was like, we did? I was like, I make sure I don't keep cheat on you because you remember everything. But I'm like, okay, playful type of love, meaningless days. See, we've been together so long until all the days start running together. Don't remember them all, but there have been a lot of good times. And those good times are what you need to pull from when you go through bad times. I'm trying to help you. Before you call me on the phone, before you send me an inbox, I'm giving you the game right now. The good times help you go through the bad times. Just like God. When you have a good relationship with God, the way that he blesses you helps you through the times when he won't give you anything because of your disobedience. Or the time when you have to wait on him to work things out for you. It's so important for us to understand that. Playful love also goes deeper than that. So repeating the verse, live happily with the woman you love throughout all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. That's tripping to me. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Look at that. So guess what, brothers? You got to bend your back. Bend your back. And because you are a hard worker, God says, I'll give somebody to help you out. You don't have to go through this alone. But if you are a lazy man, you'll have a woman that's pretty but can't do nothing else. Because you're looking not for someone to complete you, but to compliment you. And then I'm done. Last particular area is agape love. Agape love is what I would call unconditional love. Now let me help you out with this one because when you are in a relationship with somebody, or when you're married to somebody, people get this twisted. I want you to love me unconditionally. I want you to treat me like dirt and still get me something for Valentine's Day. And partially that's true, but see, you can't do that in a new relationship, or you can't do that in a relationship you're still working out some kinks in. All right. See, with agape love is unconditional. And truthfully, there's only one that can give unconditional love, and that is God. God is the one who loves you when you are acting a straight fool. How many times, listen to this, how many times can I show that I'm being good to you and you continue to reject me? Oh, let me go ahead and come on down here and talk to somebody. So demonstration purposes. Let me see, demonstration. Jaden, come here. Come on now. Come on up this way. I appreciate you. So let's say, for example, he's getting calling to me too, baseball player of the future. All right. I say, your chest poking out a little bit because you've been in the gym. All right. All right. So Jaden, God willing, one day will give me grandchildren in the future, far future. Like when he, I don't know, Jaden might not get married till he's like 40. Because he's real picky. So if I am a young lady, or I see Jaden talking with a young lady, a young lady's coming to Jaden's life in the future, and he's conversing with her, and the young lady, I'm just going to pretend I'm the young lady, and Jaden's going to give her some things, like, say, for example, this is a gift, and she's giving, I'm giving her a gift, and I'll be like, I don't want that. And he does it again. A couple, I don't want that. I don't even know why you give me stuff like that. It's not good enough. So and so, blah, 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 blah. Then that eventual rejection to him will do something on the inside of him. And then the next time, he'll be reluctant to give something. And then, you know what's toxic? When I am mad at him for not extending his hand again. Guess what? Just because you grew up a certain way, and stuff happened to you, that doesn't give you right to treat someone else the same way. It does not. You have to grow beyond that. You have to heal so that you can help someone else. So guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that if he loves himself, he's going to be like, Daddy, I don't understand why so-and-so and so forth. You know what advice I'm going to give him? I'm going to say, son, you need to go ahead and move on. And he'll play around a little bit, be like, well, maybe if I, but eventually, if he loves himself, he's going to be like, nah, you toxic, I'm sorry. We can just be friends. And then what God will do, because God knows the desires of his heart, then God will present another person so that when he extends his hand again, even though it's reluctant, guess what? Come on, extend your hand again. Well, thank you so much, Jaden. I really appreciate it. That was so sweet of you. And then you know what that does in a man's heart? That fills his heart up. And then that does what? Makes him want to do even more. Even more, because he is being shown appreciation by someone else. Now, which one will make a man do more? Getting fussed at and rejected, or being appreciated for what he is doing? Same thing with in the opposite end of that. So likewise, if... Thank you so much for the demonstration. You go ahead and go. So likewise, if I am a man and I'm dealing with a good woman, I'm not going to continue to be like, how come you don't look like one of them Instagram models? I'm like, the lady should be like, how come you don't make that Instagram money? Because if they cost $8,000 a pop to get a butt like that. Just letting you know what I know. Why don't you look a certain way? How come you're not thin in the waist? How come you don't look like Megan Thee Stallion? Megan Thee Stallion ain't had no kids. You had kids. See, fellas, when you are in love with someone, that should endure you even more. When my wife's body was disfigured with the birth of my children, that made me love her even more. So I didn't say, ew. I said, look at those scars. And she was willing to subject herself to that to bring a desire of my heart into the world, a child. Not just once, but twice. And so, fellas, what that should do to you is, man, I really appreciate that. And I honor that. And I want to give even more in that particular case or scenario. So, fellas, sometimes because of the rejection that we've gotten from our mothers or because of other ladies that have been in our life, then sometimes we treat the new particular person like dirt, and it's not supposed to be that way. I'm trying to help you to last. And so if you ever wanted to give a good example of what unconditional love looks like, let me give you the following. The truth is, when we look at the scripture out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, then I'm done. through 40, it says, the following says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like this. In verse 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. So the only one that could give you unconditional love is God. God is the one who could love you through your mess, through your abuse, through your turmoil, through pain, through anguish. He's the one that helps you to bounce back, helps you to reconcile mama issues, daddy issues, prior girlfriend or boyfriend issues, helps you to heal from abuse, neglect. Some of us, hey, guess what? Some of us can't be in a relationship now because we haven't healed from the past one. Some of us can't work within our marriages right now because of our relationship with our parents. You know the old adage, as it says, men marry their mothers and girls marry their fathers. So guess what happens oftentimes, or what I end experiencing oftentimes with working and helping people? People who have toxic relationship with their parents don't know how to deal with the current relationship they're in, and they don't even know where it comes from. So sometimes you have to deal with those demons first before you deal with someone else. Let me give you a quick example, young people. One of the biggest ways to exercise a demon from the past so that you can have a fruitful relationship is, watch this, I'm going to give you the F word, forgiveness. If you never forgive that person for treating you this way, for beating you upside the head, for talking to you in the old kind of way, for leaving you with the kids, then guess what? When God sends you someone, you're going to just trample them over. I used to always wonder that. It didn't make sense to me until I got older. I used to always wonder while I was in college, to where it always kind of baffled me, to where some of the young ladies that I would come across weren't attracted to me because I approached them politely and I say, hello, ma'am, or hello, would you like to dance? And I actually was polite like that because that's how my mama taught me, right? Unless I had rum and coke in my system. Then I said other stuff. But at least in that particular case, most of the time, I was being polite. Manners, having manners. And then, you know what will happen? And fellas, some of y'all went through this too, because you come across what you think is a really nice girl, and then all of a sudden, she'd be like, I don't even want to talk to you like that. That's so lame. Isn't that crazy? That's so lame, being all nice and stuff like that. You're probably a punk. And I would hear those things. And then, another dude, they'd be slugged up with gold in his mouth, getting ready to cuss her out. And she'd be like, all right, you want to talk? And dance the night away. And it didn't make any sense to me as to why that was. And then I realized that oftentimes, young ladies and even young men choose mates based on their experiences growing up. So if you haven't healed in the area, guess what? You won't be able to have a manageable young man in your life because you still love the toxic father in your own life. And so you actually want a toxic relationship because that's all that you know, but you need to know that that's not right. You don't need to have a toxic woman in your life because mama cussed you out every single day that you came home from school. A nice young lady that's willing to cook and clean, have children, likes to go to church. Brother's like, man, she ain't exciting, bro. I want a bad girl, bad girl. And then the bad girl got you on child support payments until your eyes pop out. Let us know what true love really is. God is the only one who can give you unconditional love. Your partner can't give you everything. If you do not have a good relationship with God, no one will save you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Come on, stand to your feet. The relationships that we have are so important. Come on, stand to your feet, young man. I'll wait on you. Sometimes the relationships that we're in are so tenuous because we really don't know what love is. We have our definition of love come from love and hip hop. But I want there to be shows that show people who have been in a relationship for past a decade, 15, 20 years. Those are the examples that you should go after. Young people, old people, everybody in between, please do not get any advice from anybody who is not married or has been married, past tense, multiple times. A divorced person that is toxic. JoJo, go sit down. I love you though. A toxic person can't give you good advice. A person who's divorced can't give you good advice. They could give you advice as far as how to break up your relationship though. You gotta listen to the right people. You gotta know what love is. And if you have problems loving yourself, then that's between you and God, and you need to work on that. Read about how God sees you and what God has intentions for you with. You can't give what you don't have. I love y'all. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough to say, sit up and be awake inside of church, even though it makes you mad. Because a good father, he chastises those that he loves. If I was a bad father, I wouldn't say nothing. I'd just let you do whatever you want to do and won't say nothing. Won't check on you. Won't correct you. I just let you happily go to jail or beat up your girlfriend without even saying nothing. I'm going to say, no, wait a minute. That's wrong. Stop. Change your life around. Do something different. I have some good examples for you to basically look at. It's important. I want to show you what real love is. So real love does not mean letting you do whatever you want. If I care about you, I'm going to say something. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless you. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for these your people. Let us know what true love is, Lord God. Let's express these things not only towards you, but also towards each other. Let there be forgiveness where there has been pain. Let there be wisdom where there have been wounds. Let there be healing, even though there may have been hurts in the past. Let us love ourselves and love you, God, above all things, so that same love will flow through and to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can't make a mistake or have issues around you, then I know that you don't love me. You only love me as far as what good things I do for you. But what happens if Pastor Martin starts tripping? Or if I have a bad day? Are you still going to be cool with me? Or are you going to cut me off? You know the other word for cutting off means? Abandonment. That's what cutting off means. I'm just going to cut you off as if you never existed. Where does that come from? Who does that? People who can't be in long-term relationships. So the main reason, young people, why you sometimes struggle with having friends, and why us old people have a problem with friends, is because we cut people off throughout our lives. And I'm talking about the good ones. Don't do that. You don't want to leave this world dying and alone, all right? God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. We're done. Lady Martin and I got a place to go, people to see. You got something that you got to do? You good? All right, all right. So God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. Don't forget, next weekend, we will be dressing like a scene from Out of Coming to America. You got that? So make sure that you wear your African heritage outfits. You can get it. You can go to the Magic Mall, or you can get an outfit at the Magic Mall. The Magic Mall is still open, all right? So make sure that you go out and you do those things, all right? God bless you. God keep you. See you next week.